Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Orioles and Guardians start a 3-game series tonight at 7. Baltimore baseball tonight at 6 with Bob Haney and Ryan Ripken live from Pickles. Followed by the Fresh Take with our own Beltway Ben Hall and Cordell Woodland at 7. But joining us now to talk some O's, part of our Baltimore baseball tonight coverage. He's a Oriole Hall of Famer, and from what I can tell, he's now living here at the station because we see him every day. He joins us now, courtesy of the Window Nation Fangest Hotlines, Mike Bordick. And Bordy, thank you, as always, for joining us. So let's start where we finished last segment. Brian Baker has been lights out so far this year. Are you buying it?
Well, Ken, thanks for having me. And yeah, you guys are like family, so I feel good about hanging around there every now and then. And it's always good to see you guys. So, you know, I am. And I'm saying this because I feel like I'm forced to, because there just isn't anybody else left. Brian Baker has pushed himself and really done a good job to actually be on this team and be dominant in spring training. And he has begun the season as a very consistent, dominant arm out there in the Oriole bullpen. So, you know, you have to buy him because he's out of options. And if he goes away, what other arms do we have? So let's hope that he continues to hold on to this consistency. And I would like to see him, if he can continue this, work his way to be more of a trusted piece in the back end. I just think his stuff is really live. He's developed that changeup a little bit more. So, yeah, I'm on him. He's been inconsistent with the Orioles, but I'm on him right now because you got to believe in somebody. And right now he feels like it looks like he's pumping his chest out and saying, let's go, give me the ball.
So you're buying Brian Baker. But Charlie Morton is on the mound tonight, Mike Bordick, and he's yet to have a passable start, 3 starts in. What needs to change in order for him to get to that point?
Well, I think a couple things. It just feels like in his starts, he makes a couple mistakes that are just really costly. Now, the numbers and things saying that, you know, it's just breaking ball isn't as good as it was over the past 4 years when that was his dominant pitch. But his fastball is a little livelier and playing up. So I think he's just trying to find himself in this 2025 season and his age 41. Now, will he? I guess that's the question. And the inconsistencies early and the way he talks to the press, I feel like he's got a pretty good grasp of what he needs to do. I trust him as a veteran, and I feel like he would be the first to step back and say, I just don't have it. I think he's really close, and I think he's had success against the Guardians in the past, and this could be a nice little turning point for him and hopefully the rotation.
This team, 40, I'm just trying to think how to frame this. Okay. There's a lot of people who look at where these kids were drafted and what they did in the minors and certainly what happened, you know, at times at the major league level and kind of feel like this is, there's been a coronation here and we even, you know, Kowser's hurt, but this should be an elite lineup. This team can score runs. I hear people say that all the time, but, again, I guess it's still early, but a lot of this happened last year too. They're 26th in walk rate. They're 21st in OPS with runners in scoring position. They're 22nd in OPS with runners on base. They're a feast or famine offense that hits a bunch of multi-run home runs or looks like they can go at times multiple series without winning. Do you buy that this is one of the best run-producing teams in baseball?
Oh, boy. Come on, man. I think they have to be. They have to be. If the Orioles want to compete, their offense has got to be the juggernaut offense of the American League East. You know, they've got to hit home runs. They showed they can this weekend. That was a nice sign. You know, so a couple guys hopefully get a little hotter and more consistent with the long ball. They have team speed, even though they haven't really been able to utilize it very well.
22nd in stolen bases, Bordy. 22nd in stolen bases.
I hear you, brother. I know, but I know they've been searching for something. They've been searching for their identity maybe a little bit and trying to get some guys going, and hopefully that frees up the offense to be more aggressive on the bases. Right now, you know, yeah, I just feel like they're inconsistent. They've had base running gaffes. They're not walking like they used to, and they're not hitting home runs as consistently as we need them to. This is early season. Cold weather stuff. So I'm going to make a major league, you know, excuse and just say it's still early. I believe in this young offensive team. I think they are the most talented young group of players that any baseball team has right now. And I think when they are able to get a little bit more consistent and, you know, and we've seen these young guys be consistent, but keep the, you know, the lows not as often and try to get out of it a little bit quicker. I think Westberg's going to be fine. And you know, he's a big part of this offense right now. And he's kind of scuffling a little bit. Holiday's bat disappeared, you know, for a couple games. But listen, it's a young offense. I do. I think they're going to be fine. I think when they get their legs under them and they start getting that confidence going, and it could be this series, Jason. It really could. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they're gonna be tested with the Indians. But listen, this is the way young guys work, okay? It gets in their head a little bit. When they were a couple years ago, they had blinders on. They didn't know about anything. They just went at it and took it. They won 100-something games. And then last year, all of a sudden, a lot of attention started getting played to this young group. They're on ESPN with their microphone. So they're talking to the announcers, and all of a sudden they're the greatest young group since the Beatles, and they sucked the second half. And I still think they're trying to figure this out, a young group of guys. And I think when they do, look out. I just think they're just too good, and I think it will come together. I still believe in this offense. I really do.
Talking with Mike Bordick, it's Inside Access here on The Fan. I think the frustrating, and I don't want to speak for Jason or Bone, but the frustrating part about the starting pitching is that we kind of saw it coming. Like we were shaking our heads in the offseason when they put this rotation together, and now it's sort of as expected. I don't remember, because we talked to so many people, like, did you feel good about this rotation when they put it together in the offseason?
Well, I just remember always wanting more, mm-hmm. You know, just needing more, needing better depth, needing. And I thought they were going after this off season to create that kind of depth. And, but there was never, listen, the only pitching move that they've made that I've been satisfied with as far as like a trade or an acquisition is Eflin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Corbin Burns, I just don't agree with it. It was a waste of three players. It wasn't enough to win in the postseason. So if you're going to move and if you're going to act on these young guys, it really does have to be more aggressive and risk taking. The window is closing. It's not opening wider. It's closing. So, yeah, we just have to be more aggressive. Somebody's got to say, come on, we got to go. We got to go now. Because I would hate for this to all of a sudden go bye-bye. And, you know, we miss out on an opportunity.
Bordy, was there any part of you watching that game on Saturday wondering if John Schneider was trying to get himself fired by letting Bowden Francis face Cedric Mullins in that situation, knowing that the kid's out of gas and said he destroys right-handed pitching, especially at home, and he's off to a great start, and then going lefty-lefty for Jackson Holliday? I don't know. I thought that was quite a choice.
Well, this is, I don't know. I have mixed reviews on every pitching decision now, it seems. When I see a manager think it's a, I just want him to go a little deeper. Mm. I say, thank you. Mm. Thank you. This young pitcher might be better because of what happened, his last start. And all I'm just constantly seeing 4 2/3, 4 2/3. At some point, somebody's got to suck it up and get an out and go on and learn how to do that. Listen, this is how bullpens get destroyed. You gotta get somebody to go a little bit deeper. It just gotta happen.
Mike Bordick, you're the best, man. We appreciate your time.
Thank
as
you,
always, we will chat with you next week.
All right,
we better not see you in here tomorrow.
We'll see you tomorrow in the kitchen.
We got to be in here really early for a meeting tomorrow. If you're here when we get here, we're gonna have to have like an intervention.
I'm gonna be down at Pickles with Bob Haney.
Nice.
Tomorrow.
Those burgers are actually good.
Baseball podcast.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, what's going on in the podcast, Bordy?
Man, we had Jeff Rebelay. Jeff Rebelay! So tune in and listen to Rebs talk. And a local legend, Brian Coates, was also on.
Oh, I know Brian. Yeah.
There you go. Be More Baseball podcast.
And you can find the podcast anywhere, right, Bordy? Every platform. The Odyssey app, apparently.
Yeah, it's on everywhere. It's even on the Odyssey app.
Wow.
And of course, YouTube. Get on there, subscribe, like it, check it out. It's some good stuff.
Thanks, Bordy.
You the man, Bordy. You just reminded me of something on that Odyssey app, by the way.
Coming up next, Mike Elias joined the front office show with Jim Bowden and
award-winning
Jim Duquette. Great show. Had a lot to say about many different topics. We'll hear what those things were, including how the season has begun, their prospects, etc. We'll hear Mike Elias next here on the
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knix Menswear, your friend in style.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Fan. I do. Yeah, I said the same thing. And, you know, I get a little, I don't know, cliche talking about the AL East, but it's something different. And I think they're very well should be three playoff teams out of this division. We see a chance for four playoff teams out of this division. And like you said, I think we have five teams that might have winning records or deserve to have winning records. So it's going to be very competitive all year. We know that. And, you know, we've come out to a pretty tight start, I guess, to start things off. But there's a lot long ways to go.
Mike Elias talking about the state of the division. And the AL only has one team with 10 wins. That's the Tigers.
Deserve to have a winning. How does a team deserve to have a winning record? You play 162. If you end up with 75,
you earn it.
No, but I mean, I think he's implying that, see, because he's got the crystal ball and he's penciled it all out. So it sounds like in the real world, which is Mike Elias's world, all these teams have probably at least 87 wins. Doesn't matter what happens in your world where there's standings that you could go to ESPN or Baseball Reference or Baseball Savant and it all says this is how many games they won.
There's no
he's got his list of deserve. I'm sure in his mind, the Orioles deserve to be 13-2.
Instead of
deserve.
But Bowen feels they deserve to be 6-9. You know that. They can only be 6-9 record. Once.
Yeah. That's going to change after today.
Yeah, it's over. That's over. The dream is done. More for Mike Elias.
Cancel the season.
Yeah.
this is it. Yeah. You're telling me this is the high point of the year? It's all downhill from here?
This is peak for Bone. The shaky start to the season. What about it, Mike?
You know, it's been real uneven. It's been a little frustrating, and it's been kind of a fitful start to the year and spring. We've had our share of injuries. I mean, there's a lot of that going on around the league, but, you know, certainly we've caught the bug, and I think we have eight pitchers on the IL right now, and three of them are basically our top three starters. You know, Colton Cowser's on the IL, Jorge Mateo kind of came back quickly in, after spring training, but he's coming off of a long injury. So we've got health problems, but other teams do too. And I think the biggest thing for us, you know, we knew this was going to be a team very reliant on its position players, the offense and the defense. And we've had flashes of really good offensive performances, and they've usually resulted in wins. But there's been a lot of games where we've just kind of gotten blanked. I think a lot of that, you know, we face really good starting pitchers so far this year, just sort of by luck of the draw. So the pitching we've been facing has been pretty impressive. And I think our offense will get on a roll. But that's, you know, certainly the heart and soul of this team.
So, okay, they'll face some bad pitching and they'll start hitting. That doesn't change their rotation, though. And I hope Zach Eflin's back at some point. But they still...
Well, we'll get to the clip here. I thought his answer to the Eflin question was very interesting. I'll just say this about their offense. Because all he did was work the margins to try to make them better against left-handed pitching. And I get it. It's early. They face a lefty tonight, a lefty who doesn't have reverse splits.
Logan
so
Allen.
A lefty and Logan Allen, who righties who are worth a damn, should be able to hit. I would just point out, the Orioles and the Kansas City Royals are the only teams in Major League Baseball without a home run against left-handed pitching. The Orioles are batting .213 against left-handed pitching. That's 20th. In Major League Baseball. They're slugging .250 against lefties. That's 27th. They have a .581 OPS against lefties. That is 26th. And they're 17th in on-base percentage against lefties. So we'll see, Mike. I don't know what Gary Sanchez and Laureano deserve to be hitting, but they better start hitting tonight.
And the luck of the strong pitchers that they've faced, I don't know.
Well, they'll face some bad ones.
Get lucky.
Yeah. Ben, Jason requested it, so let's go with cut 14. Mike Elias talking about the Zach Eflin injury.
Well, it was a very mild, we hope, very mild latch strain. It was in a part of the muscle in the middle of the muscle belly that you hope is a little more positive and something closer to the shoulder connections. I do not have a timetable on him other than he continues to feel better and better, and we think we'll probably get him playing catch next week and kind of take it from there. So there's a range of outcomes there. I guess at this point, what I would say is we're optimistic that this will be measured more in weeks than months, but there's kind of a open set of possibilities. But so far, he's feeling really good.
Well, let me remind you that a year ago, Grayson Rodriguez had, did they describe it as mild?
Minimum stint on the IL. Yeah.
And he never pitched again. That was, what, August?
When I hear weeks and not months, that tells me this cat, it's not just 15 days. It's not just go back and find his last start and go 2 weeks into
June
the future.
1st?
It's not. Did that sound like that to you?
June 1st?
Maybe.
He said that doesn't really know the timeline, then says weeks, not months. And last year when he went on the IL, he was on for the minimum, the 15 days. That no shot that's going to be the case after that.
Who's back first? Him or Gibby? Gibby, who pitched today. I'm
Gibby.
Looking up the line right now.
Gibby has a good pitch today.
I think Gibby.
Yeah, I think they love to rush guys. Gibby's coming back soon. By the way, there are other injured pitchers. Mike Elias, cut 18, Beltway Ben. Gives us an update on the other injured pitchers.
I think the good news is all the eight that I mentioned on the IL are all doing really well. So the rehab, they're moving along. It would probably take me 20 minutes to go into detail on all eight guys, but we could have a wave or a group of them start to become available in late May. Grayson Rodriguez threw a bullpen, Andrew Kittredge threw a bullpen yesterday. Trevor Rogers and Chase McDermott are down in Florida throwing off the mound. We've got a couple guys coming back from Tommy John surgery. Those are going to be much later in the summer, but their rehabs are going well too. Kyle Bradish, Tyler Wells. So they're on the mend and things are going well so far, but we're pretty thin here as we stand in April, and our depth has been more than tested.
Feeling good.
Yeah, it's good times. Gibby, 3 2/3 against the Omaha Storm Chasers. 6 hits, 3 earned, no walks, 4 Ks, 63 pitches, 45 strikes.
He'll be here in 5 days. By the way, they did move Brandon Young to Aberdeen, so it sounds like he's going to be here in the coming
Friday,
days.
Perhaps.
Yeah, Friday or Saturday, so because he'll be closer.
In good news, Machine, 3 for 4 today. He's up to 357.
That guy just rakes.
Love the Machine. We're down to Norfolk at Gigi's wedding. I hope Machine's still there so I can shake his hand.
Yeah.
Say I met the Machine. He might be up here by then.
Yeah, well, if there are injuries, he might. Coming up next, Purple Rain in the forecast. And Patrick McCarry was an incredibly valuable player for the Baltimore Ravens. How big a priority should the Ravens make replacing McCarry? We discuss next here on The Fan.
Well, left tackles don't grow on trees, first of all. Ronnie had a great season. I think he had one of his best years last year. He's really, I think, grown into being one of the leaders of our team. And just looking out at the draft in free agency, we just didn't really see a lot of guys that we felt were better than him. And my experience with the draft, when you're picking in the 20s, in the late 20s, it's very hard to get left tackles. Those guys fly off the board. And so you think you have a chance, and then what you realize is you're picking 25, 26, 27, there's 5 tackles, and all 5 tackles get picked before pick 20. And so for us, making that investment in Ronnie, knowing him as a person, his ability as a left tackle to protect the quarterback and be a run blocker and be a leader up on the offensive line, I think was important.
Eric DaCosta earlier today talking about the importance of keeping Ronnie Stanley, and they got their left tackle locked up. They did let Patrick McCarry walk, who at times has played guard, has played tackle, I think maybe even a little center. He can play everywhere on that offensive line. He is now gone. I think they think Andrew Voorhees, at least he's going to get the first shot, because remember, he did start last season as a starter at guard, will be in that spot. But how important is it to replace what McCarry gave them?
Well, the swing tackle matters because, again, part of the reason they were able to get Ronnie Stanley at the price point and for the number of years they were able to get him for is his extensive and exhaustive injury history. So I think I have no doubt that they're going to draft a tackle and they're going to draft an interior offensive lineman if they use even 10 of these 11 picks. I just think that's almost inevitable given the number that are available, the way they think they can develop them, how much you need numbers at that position. And how they're short. Usually there's more of a veteran presence on this offensive line than they have right now in terms of depth and starters. So I expect that to play out that way. But I do wonder we've talked so much about who, you know, a Judon reunion, or right, we were talking about Calais Campbell before he resigned. We've talked about Za'Darius. I do wonder if, they take some offensive linemen, but they're developmental guys in the fifth, sixth, seventh round. I do wonder if they do lean heavily into the defensive side of this draft, which there's strong indications they will. That extra $3 to $4 million laying around doesn't go to, you know, I don't know. Do you think there's any, like Jedrick Wills, you know what I mean? Do you take a shot there? Do you lean into an older guy like George Fant? Like, I just wonder, our old buddy Chuck's Okorafor there with the former Steeler. Like, I wonder, Andre Dillard. Like, do they – remember they used to they tried to revive Andre Smith.
Yeah.
Like, I just wonder if that's where the money ends up going, because the draft does play out in a more defensive-minded posture.
Possibly. I also wouldn't be surprised if they use a day two pick on an offensive lineman. If you look at the current depth chart, and I think we all feel – pretty good about this offensive line, the starting five, but outside of that, guys, the depth is sketchy at best. You brought back Ben Cleveland, which was a surprise to begin with. Then you got Nick Samak, who was always a healthy scratch last year, and a bunch of undrafted kids. So I think you really need to build some depth behind those guys, and that's what made Patrick McCary so valuable. Where last year was the first season he's been here where day one he's the starter. And if you take those 17 games out, in 5 years, the five prior years, he started 36 times. Now, a lot of that was because Ronnie Stanley missed substantial time, but there's so much value in having that type of guy. And maybe not able to play all five positions like him, but the Ravens do value the versatility from guard to tackle.
They need a backup center and a backup tackle. Yeah. Like, I don't think that guy is on the... Like, remember they tried to have Ben Cleveland snap it a few times?
Samak could be the backup center, wasn't he? But like, not that I love the guy, but he was a center in college.
Yeah. I'd like to have somebody who I think can play.
Sure, I get
it. It's seventh round.
I do want to back up a little bit. Like, while I acknowledge McCary's value and his importance, I also understand why they let him go. The same thing that exists when he started playing a year ago still exists now, and that's the fact that he's got an expiration date on that back. And so I wish him well and appreciate the fact that somebody wanted to pay him, but I think it's like...
No, this has nothing to do with that. It's just that they derived a lot of value out of him for... what, 6 years?
Yeah.
I mean, and he had a unique skill set. And at a certain point in time, if the healthier he stayed and the more he played, that was going to price him out of here because somebody else is going to pay him like a starter. I get all that, but I'm really starting to be convinced that the veteran signing ends up being after the draft an offensive lineman and not a defensive player, because they just fall in love with some of these defensive players, as they should, and can see themselves elevating an area of weakness, which I get what the numbers say, but no one's scared about anybody on their front seven from a pass rushing standpoint individually except for Matabike. That's it. That's their roster. That's what they built. That's what they have. And that's what they know, and that's what shows up in January. So I think you better have a center or a tackle who has started at this league, who when he's right has played at at least a slightly above replacement level value.
There was a report a week ago, and I don't think we ever got into it, that George Fant was out there.
I mentioned
there,
George Fant.
Yeah, and like, he's a...
It's like, not great, but
no,
it
could be your swing tackle.
If you need to... If Ronnie Stanley goes down for 6 weeks, and even if you think moving the kid over makes sense, then who's playing right tackle? So, yeah, I, and again, there's no reason to assess this now, but 2 or 3 days after the draft, I think we're going to be, I wouldn't be shocked if we're talking about they're signing a veteran, maybe two veteran offensive linemen before that rookie camp to start getting them in the mix.
Yeah, without question. And if the board falls a certain way and maybe they use one of those more premium picks, a second round pick on a tackle, maybe it's less of a need at that point. But they do not have another tackle on this roster right now outside of Ronnie Stanley and Roger Rosengarten. But like you said, there's plenty of time until there, and there's still veteran guys that you mentioned. But building depth along the offensive line has got to be a high priority.
You know, Eric talked about it today, but one of the things that they love to do is part of the roster building that occurs after the draft when they sign these street free agents, that not the undrafted free agents, but the guys, the veterans that are still out there, and once they're not subject to the formula, they love bringing those guys in.
Think about 2023 when he just hit home run after home run in those late signings with the Ronald Darbys, the Jadeveon Clowneys, yes, the Kyle Van Noys. Those guys were all
Rock Ya Sin.
Well, that wasn't. But those guys were all available in August, and in Van Noy's case, September.
Yeah, I mean, there will invariably be a little bit of work to do. You know, with the roster, and the roster's never perfect, and obviously injuries and guys retiring out of the blue or whatever, things happen that can throw you for a loop. But they slept well at night knowing that McCary could literally start all five positions. Like that was a big deal for them. And it played out. I mean, the guy held it down at left tackle, right tackle, center, guard. That's a significant loss. That's why he got the money he got. No, they're not in a position to pay him. They don't have that kind of cap space. They've got other mouths to feed. But I don't think they're just going to solve it in the draft.
Do you think they, like, to Bone's point, because I don't know, not to, no disrespect, Bone, I don't buy them using a day two pick on an offensive lineman, because I just feel like they're going to really want to build up the defense. But could you see that, them using taking an offensive lineman on day two?
I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised. I just, with the what people I trust, how they assess the group, and the fact that even though it's not a great group, because of the need, you're going to have six go in the first 30 some picks. Like, now you're talking about second tier of not a great group. I don't think the value is going to be there. Like, if it did get in a situation where the best guy was an offensive lineman, I think that's a scenario where they start thinking, do we take a quarterback here? Do we take a linebacker here? Or do we trade down?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see them drafting, like, that's where they have all these extra picks in the later round. Developmental guys, project guys. Like, that to me, you feel like I'm barking up the right tree here? Linemen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think they're going to sign a veteran.
Yeah, oh, yeah. George Fant, come on down. Hey, coming up next, we hit the hot corner. We got the lineup for tonight's game against the Guardians. Also, Orioles against left-handed pitching. How bad is it? We're going to tell you next here on The Fan. Orioles and the Cleveland Guardians, game one of this three-game series tonight. It is the right-handed hitting lineup, or heavy lineup, as Jordan Westbrook leads off at third base. Adley Rutschman is the DH batting second. Tyler O'Neill batting third in right field. Gunnar Henderson, he's the cleanup hitter at shortstop. Ryan Mountcastle, first base, batting fifth. Gary Sanchez, your catcher, batting sixth. Cedric Mullins batting seventh in center field. Ramon Laureano in left field, batting eighth. And Jorge Mateo batting ninth at second base. So Orioles brought in Laureano. They brought in Sanchez. They brought in O'Neill to help against lefties. Well, so far, how's it working out, Jason?
It's not working out. None of those guys, by the way, have faced Logan Allen before. None of the right-handed crew, Laureano, O'Neill, Sanchez, have never faced him. Jorge Mateo has one hit and four at-bats against him. No Oriole has seen him more than five times, so there's not a big sample size there. Gunner, however, is 1-for-1 with a two-run homer off Logan Allen. Mm. I'm glad they moved Gunner down. I think talked about this on the show yesterday. He didn't get enough of a run-up and a ramp-up in terms of his rehab. And then you thrust him right into the leadoff spot, and he tries to do too much, and he expands the zone, and he gets himself out, and the swing and miss is out of whack. And I'm not saying that it's low pressure being dropped down to the four-hole, but I think take that leadoff off of his back, and maybe we get a little higher caliber of at-bat. And he is doing damage when he hits the ball, and you know, hopefully that leads to more run scoring opportunities. I mean, we've got two left-handed bats in the lineup. Logan Allen is not a reverse splits guy. He's better against lefties than he is against righties, as most lefties are. I think it would have been pretty silly to take Cedric Mullins out of this lineup right now. So if you're leaving a couple lefties in.
And you need him in center field, quite frankly.
You absolutely need him in center field with Chuck, ground Chuck on the mound, except he's air Chuck. He doesn't get ground balls. He's air Chuck. He chucks those curveballs, and they hit him into the 15th row.
Up Chuck.
Not much said can do about that. But, yeah, they need to get it going against lefties. It's been shameful, frankly, what's going on, considering that's the only area that Mike Elias seemingly felt like he had to upgrade his lineup. And they're batting .213 against lefties. They've got a .301 on base, a .250 slug, a .551 OPS against left-handed hitting. That's 26th in baseball. The Orioles and the Royals, the only teams in the major leagues who haven't homered off a lefty yet this year.
And Logan Allen is not a hard-throwing lefty at all. And if you just look at his Baseball Savant page, and it's only two starts, but he's walking a lot of guys. Bottom 11th percentile in walks. He doesn't strike out anybody. Bottom 6th percentile in strikeout percentage. And bottom 1st percentile in whiff rate. So you'd like to see some professional at-bats against Logan Allen tonight.
I mean, look, this Guardians team, I think, is going to regress. There's three teams in the American League that I think are going to regress from their form from last year in a fairly significant manner. Cleveland, Houston, and Baltimore. This bullpen is not a super strength for them anymore. A lot of guys who had amazing numbers last year, go look at how many innings they pitched and how much they threw the ball out of the pen. It was ridiculous, and that tends to come back and bite you. There's oscillation and just in general with relief arms, but young relief arms who have never pitched that much in the majors, they tend to regress. Classe has been a disaster since the playoffs last year. He doesn't look confident. He's not pitching confident. He's having trouble throwing strikes. He's getting hit incredibly hard. So that takes away their superpower. They can still go get the baseball, but it's not a very good lineup. I mean, there's not much power there. One of the guys who is providing some pop is Kyle Manzardo, who strikes out at an alarming rate, who really is a three true outcome guy. We know Ramirez is a professional hitter, one of the best players in baseball. We know that Kwan is as good of a leadoff guy as you're going to get. But once you get past the four hole, it falls off. Remember, Jimenez isn't there anymore. You know, Naylor, we saw him in Arizona. He's not there anymore. Fry had an amazing year for them last year. He's on the IL. So I thought the team, frankly, slugged over their heads last year and didn't think that was sustainable. And they've lost a lot of key guys from that. They're not a team that's equipped to play from behind. But look, Kwan's not going to give away at-bats. He's going to slap the ball. He's going to put it in play. Your defense better be ready. If Ramirez gets to hit against this pitcher with people on base, it could be a problem. Like, my scouting report's pretty easy. Like, do not walk Kwan and do not pitch to Ramirez. If Ramirez beats him in this series, they're a bunch of morons.
Mokes.
Like, I don't care if there's runners on first and second. If there's two outs, I'm literally thinking about putting the guy on base. Like, that's it. After him, it's a hope and a prayer for them right now.
Yeah, they're 24th in runs scored, 19th or 18th in OPS.
And I mean, from 5 through 9, I'm not saying those guys won't beat up Charlie Morton, because I think everybody's going to beat up Charlie Morton. But like, Charlie Morton tonight, first inning matters. Like, if he can have one clean spin through their best hitters, that at least makes me think there's a chance in hell you could get 15 outs from him.
So let's get to the Charlie Morton of it all. What do you, and I'm not going to say expectations, but like, what do you hope to see from Charlie Morton tonight coming off that awful outing in Arizona?
What do I hope to see? I mean, I don't know. Halfway competent, like,
keep him in the ballgame.
Like, what does that even mean, though?
When he leaves the game, have it be within a run or two.
Could he have the lead, Bone?
Now, that you might be asking for too much, Ken.
Look, they had 2 days off, then they played 2 games, then they had a day off, then they're playing this game. If this guy is telling you, if he's showing you who he is and it's what he's been, then you better be prepared to have somebody up in the third inning.
And they had an off day, so bullpen's rested.
And they had they, They played two games in the last 5 days. So, and Batista's back, so you don't have to worry about somebody fudging the ninth for you if you are in a save situation, which doesn't happen that often.
No, they've had one.
So, whoever, you know, like, I mean, could you get 12 outs out of them and be within two runs? I think so. Like, I don't think that's anything that anybody should be championing or looking at as progress or in any way saying, attaboy. But letting the top of this lineup see him three times, I think is like going into it thinking that's even, you said, what would you dream for? Or what would you hope for? I'm not even hoping for that. I'm hoping I can get 12 outs with him before Ramirez sees him a third time. And if I've got 12 or more outs from him at that point, see ya. I got a better matchup.
Orioles and Guardians start a three-game series tonight at 7. Baltimore Baseball Tonight live from Pickles at 6. Bob Haney and Ryan Ripken followed by the Fresh Take with their own Beltway, Ben Hall, and Cordell Woodland at 7. And coming up next, the Liars' Luncheon was earlier today. What were Jonas Schaefer's main takeaways from what Eric DeCosta had to say? We're going to ask Jonas. He covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner, and he joins us next.